are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
That's right, you tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment. The time has just gone 25 minutes to the hour, 10 o'clock here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. Right now, we're going to be joined on the line by Shepherdess Thokozile Kalima. She says she also goes by Shepherdess Catherine Kalima. So we are going to be joined on the line by her to discuss navigating cultural expectations, a woman's world. And right now she has joined us on the line. How are you doing today, Shepherdess?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time out to have this conversation with us.
Thank you so much.
Essentially, I was just getting into like our intro for our discussion that we're going to be having, around a woman's world and trying to navigate these cultural expectations that are had by women and looking at those, you know, cultural expectations while staying true to, you know, Christian faith and values is a dynamic process that requires thoughtful reflection and community support and, you know, more and more a deeper understanding of biblical principles. So we just want to look at some of the key aspects that we may see as key aspects to explore on how Christian women can navigate some of these challenges. I think we can start off by asking, what are specific cultural expectations that may conflict or be in direct, opposal or conflict once again with Christian values for women?
Thank you so much. To start with, what are these cultural expectations? I think is a question that we need to answer here. You see, these are messages that we have internalized about what is and what is not acceptable. The standards of behavior and cultural norms put forth by our social system. Mm-hmm. There are certain rules. Mm. They live deep in our subconscious. Mm-hmm. However, they affect our judgment and how we react to certain situations. There are a number of cultural expectations or norms that are practiced by different cultural groupings or tribes or races. I want to speak in line with Africa itself. You'll find that when we talk about these norms, these cultural expectations that may conflict with our Christian standards, our Christian values,
right,
we can talk about customs and traditions. Mm. For instance, here in Zambia, we have traditions like sexual cleansing after a spouse loses a spouse, where a man or a woman is expected to have some sexual intercourse with a relative of the deceased spouse.
Oh, Lord.
To be cleansed. So even though this time it is not so much pronounced as it was, but I hear that there are still few people who do that.
Right.
So you see? And the other one we can talk about is ancestral worship. Hmm. Where we come from, like where I come from myself, we have different ceremonies. Where when you look at those ceremonies, they are appeasing ancestors. You know, even thanking the ancestors, maybe for the good rains, for the good harvest and other things. But as a Christian woman, I believe that the dead are dead. And the only person that needs to be appeased, the only being to be appeased, the only being we need to worship is God. Mm. And then we can also talk about some rituals and rites of passage, like some initiations. In different tribes of Zambia, you find different types of initiation ceremonies. When a girl reaches puberty, they are expected to go through that. But there are certain things that they'll do to a girl that really conflicts with the Christian norms and standards. And as a Christian, you're not supposed to go that. But I'm sure the society will look at you like you want to be different from them. Hmm. You maybe a bit difficult in a way, but you know that as a Christian, I cannot go through that. I cannot do that. The other thing I can talk about is some polygamy. I'm sure even in South Africa you have that, even in other countries, especially Africa as a continent. It is one of the customs and norms in many tribes. And as a Christian woman, you know that I'm not supposed to be involved in polygamy. So it does interfere with our Christian values. They do conflict.
Right.
But they are more in the cultures that we come from. Thank you.
Now, I have heard a lot of people, like on that last topic that you just mentioned about polygamy, like I recently had a conversation about that in terms of women and men as well in the church, and see a lot of people saying today that it does not state anywhere in the Bible that, you know, you don't have to have more than one. And I'm just like, you know what, I clearly do not know the Bible well enough to have this conversation. And I think that also becomes a perpetuating problem, that we are not necessarily informed enough about our own religion or our own belief in Christ, or our relationship with God is not as, you know, solidified for us to be able to question some of these cultural aspects that may come in conflict with our, you know, religious aspects. But how do these expectations, you know, manifest in areas such as our career choices and our relationships? I mean, I just mentioned polyamory, but looking at our career choices, relationships, and our family dynamics and personal identity, how does that, you know, how do they coincide, or basically do they repel each other?
Thank you so much. You know, on that one, you will find that our cultural expectations shape the way we think. They shape the way we have. They even shape the choices of career.
Right.
There are some careers, according to our culture, that are meant for men.
Right.
And it has been very difficult for a woman to dominate in such male-dominated careers.
Right.
Why? Because we have a notion that that belongs to a man.
Right.
A woman cannot do this. Right. You know, a woman cannot operate that big machine in there. In the mind, a woman cannot do this. Why? Because our thoughts have been shaped by the cultural expectations and norms and values that we've grown up with.
Right.
But when you look at how things have evolved now, we have women who are in male-dominated careers.
That would be me. I'm sorry.
Sure. And maybe just coming in again, you'll find that even in the workplaces, there are some societal biases and gender stereotypes that our employers still have.
True.
Why? They are also coming from cultures where a woman's place was a kitchen, was a home.
Right.
So you'll find that they'll have some hiring bias. Some employers may have unconscious biases. They're not even conscious about them.
Right.
That will lead them to favor male candidates over female ones.
Right.
Why? Well, we are taught a woman's place is a kitchen.
Right.
A woman's to just have children. A woman is not supposed to go out there and, you know, triumph in terms of a career.
Mm.
And when it comes to promotion, they'll even say, it's better we promote a man.
Mm.
This woman is big. This man will not take up this challenge. But we've seen women who take up challenges.
Oh,
so these biases can still get over them.
Right. And have we ever met a situation where we feel as though our spiritual or, you know, religious aspects do conflict with those choices that shape our, you know, how we choose to make our families? You said that culture does play a big role. I think it also affects how we translate our religion. I think that's something I've noticed, even in the Adventist church, that across the globe, depending on the culture of the area, even the way in which the Sabbath is practiced may differ. It may be the same, but it may be slightly different from place to place. And how then does those, this is a tricky question that I'm trying to ask. Essentially, I'm trying to get to the point where I'm asking, how then do we know that we are practicing the right, I guess, religious expectations or Christian expectations, as opposed to just inflicting our cultural expectations onto our religion?
Thank you so much. You know, we have different cultures, different practices, but the Bible and Bible alone is our creed. So in everything that you are doing, you have to still go back to the Bible and say, is what I'm doing right?
Right.
I think that can be my answer.
I think it's a good one, because ultimately that is the guideline for everything that we need to do. Like, we need to refer back to the Bible and also the relationship that we have with God. Are there any biblical teachings that guide Christian women in their roles and responsibilities that we should pay attention to?
Thank you. You see, the roles of a woman are well tabulated in the Bible. If we read Genesis chapter 2, verse 22 to 24, God created Eve as a helpmate to complement the husband's effort,
right,
to complement him as a man, and to provide some companionship. So a woman here, we see a role of a helpmate, a role of a wife. When we go to Proverbs 31, we see a woman as a mother, nurturing her children, a homemaker, taking care of a household, a provider as well, helping the husband in providing. A Christian woman also serves as the heart of the family and a role model in Christian purity and grace for her husband and children.
Right.
A Christian woman is a child's first teacher, instilling values, nurturing values, and producing a Christ-like character for the children and everyone in her household. You see, Mary was the first teacher for Jesus Christ. And as a mother, we are taught to nurture our children, to instill values, to teach them that they need to know as Christian children.
Right.
I feel as a mother, my child should first get the first memory verse from me, not from school. I need to introduce them to God. I need to introduce them to their Savior. I need to introduce Christian values to them. Proverbs 14, verse 1, 1 Timothy, we see the woman in 1 Timothy, who was the grandmother to Timothy, teaching Timothy the word of God, the story of Royce. Women also had a role in the Bible, and the role that they still play now. They were disciples. And we have a number of examples in the Bible, but I can just bring out two. Dorcas, when we read the book of Acts chapter 9, verse 36, they said she was a full of good works, but she was also a disciple of Jesus Christ. Lydia, a prominent businesswoman who used to sell purple cloth, she supported the ministry of Paul in the early church with whatever means that she had, that she accumulated through her businesses. A woman's other role, again, is to teach that which is good, training the young women to be good, to be loving, to be submissive to their husbands. Training the young women to love their children. Training the young women to be homemakers. Training the young women to be women that are remarkable and respected in the community. Titus chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. Elderly women, train the younger women in the church. Women are also employed to love, to be respectable, to be submissive, and to learn to love others in the household, as well as evangelize for Christ. Thank you.
And I think, like, while we're trying to grasp these responsibilities that are given, you know, to Christian women, what are some of those challenges that women face when trying to, you know, balance those expectations, or not necessarily expectations, but the roles that we're meant to play in as a Christian woman, and balancing our careers, family, and personal aspirations? How does one balance all of that?
Thank you. You see, one of the greatest challenges that a career woman has, and when I'm talking about a career woman, I'm talking about a woman in formal employment. I'm talking about an entrepreneur. I'm talking about a woman doing a business, even a simple business.
Right.
That's a career. It is to strike a work balance. Sometimes as a career woman, you have to work for long hours and leave little time for your family and personal relationships. And you know that family comes first. So you really need to strike balance between whatever you're doing, bring food on the table, to complete your husband, to help your husband. But your one responsibility is your family. Raising the children for Christ, raising the spiritual giants, nurturing them, teaching them the skills that they need for survival. So you really need to strike balance. In as much as you want to accumulate wealth, you want to help your husband, your home, the first place.
That's really balanced.
So the other thing here is time management. You need to know how to manage your time so that you strike balance. You need to create time. You consciously create time for your family, for you to be able to, you know, to maintain a good family as well as maintain your career.
True.
The other thing is there are times when you have conflicting priorities. As a Christian woman, your role is to see which one should come first. That is why we have seen that in other homes, women have been taught, you know, for now, you cannot work. Maybe you need to raise children if there's no one to really help you in there. And believe me, that one is a noble thing. It's a noble career. So there are times when you cannot even work. You have to raise the children. But again, there are times when you can work and balance your career as well as raising the children.
True.
You have to play your role as a mother and as a wife in a home, as well as balance whatever you are doing in your career journey. And then the other problem that is there, the other challenge is that some women lack support from their spouses and family members. You know, a spouse should be supportive. Motherhood is a hurdle on its own. You know, it's a blessing, but again, it can come with a lot of hurdles when you're raising children. And as well as being a career woman, you really need support from a husband. A husband who supports you emotionally, psychologically. It can even be financially sometimes, and spiritually. So a woman needs that support. You know, juggling between work demands and family obligations can be stressful and may harm somebody's personal and professional life.
True.
I strongly feel you have to sit down and make a plan. How am I going to juggle between these two things? While any. Thank you.
I think it's a very difficult one to grasp, you know, or try to even fully understand, because sometimes now we're sitting there and perhaps, you're right, the most important part is the discourse, the conversation that you have with perhaps the person you're courting, even before you reach marriage. These are the things I would like to do. How are we going to work around this? How are we going to balance everything together before, you know, just stepping into this world of, you know, starting a family and getting into more and more responsibilities. Are there any, like, highlighting and key tensions that we should be aware of, or between cultural norms and advocating for values aligned with Christian teachings? Are there any things that we should be very much aware of, like on a very daily basis, or is it just in general, as you go along, you'll discover which ones do not go with your Christian obligations or Christian teachings?
Thank you so much. You see, as I earlier alluded to, that the only creed that we have as Christians is the Bible. But that doesn't mean that everything, all the cultural norms and values that we have that we've grown up with, are bad. No. There are some things that a woman has been taught in our cultures that are very good, and actually they don't even conflict with the Bible. For instance, we are taught to be respectful to our husbands. We are taught to be submissive. We are taught to mother our children, to take care of our homes, to be there when we are needed the most. Those are the values we've grown up with, especially as an African woman.
True.
And I'm sure even other races.
True.
And the Bible also echoes the same values. So you see, it's not everything that is bad about culture. But there are certain few things which I earlier highlighted, you know, which you as a Christian woman, if you were taught to go through them, imagine if I lost my husband today, then I'm told, no, you know, we are going to follow the traditions. Maybe you have to do this so that you are cleansed of a ghost, as, you know, as they claim. I'm sure as a Christian woman, I should be able to come out and say, I don't believe in this. The Bible teaches me this. Of course, in a very respectful manner, without disrespecting the elders. Because even the Bible tells us not to disrespect what? The elders.
Sounds like an extreme job that we have to do here, this balance between saying, no, I don't want to do that, but still, I don't want to do that. Okay, just respectfully.
Sure, I like that one. You see, there are times when you're communicating something to people, but the way you come out,
right?
People will not even learn. You will not even communicate the values that you need to communicate to those people in the right way. Why? You've not been diplomatic. You've not been kind to those people. You've been disrespected. That way, you may even conflict more. But we've seen that when you communicate to the people on the values, you know, that you believe in, on your standard of life, on your Christian journey, people will understand she is a Christian. She doesn't believe in this. Above all, you have to be prayerful. You have to be prayerful. Very much prayerful, actually. You know, when it comes to a spiritual journey of a woman and cultural conflict, you really need to be prayerful, because there are those who come out and say, okay, she has refused to do this. We'll see. Something will happen. And this world is evil. The devil is not in ICU. He's also active. So, you know, he wants to conflict. He wants to show, like, no, because she did this, maybe let me bring in this, maybe a disease or certain things, maybe torment, you know, being tormented. But we know that that can be witchcraft or anything else. But you just have to communicate what you believe in a respective manner.
Yeah, no, it's very tricky to be a woman, guys. If anyone would like to change places with me, I am very much prepared. Joking. But essentially, to be a godly woman seems to take a lot, because you're not just... the responsibility is a lot. You're not just trying to uphold culture, as you know, in all respects, but you're also trying to hold on to what God says and how you should treat others, and how, you know, it's practically a without God, it almost practically seems impossible, to be quite frank, because it seems like a lot of expectations. But the only semblance of hope or, you know, solace that we have is that we should have this or do it with a solid relationship with God. So thank you very much, Shepherdess Kalima, for joining us on the line and discussing this with us all the way from Zambia. And I really appreciate the conversation. I hope that people have learned a lot from today. And if there are any parting words that you'd like to leave with our fellow women in the church who are going through this, you know, situation right now, are there any last words that you might have?
Thank you. What I would love to communicate to my fellow women is that they are special. They were created in the image of God. They are wonderful. And God has a purpose for them. So in as much as we have different challenges in different areas, in terms of maybe career and other expectations, we just need to know that we are special, we are daughters of God, and we have to do the best that we can do. You know, even in these male-dominated careers, when you are given an opportunity, when you are given position, let us prove that we can do it. Huh? Let us prove that, indeed, a woman can do it. And then the best thing that God has given us as women, the best role, I think, among the roles is the role of a wife and as a mother, a homemaker. Those are priorities. God has given us that role, you see. We are parenting for heaven. We are parenting children that will be spiritual giants to continue the Adventism movement, to continue preaching the gospel, and I'm sure God will never forget our works. May God bless all the women that are listening, the men alike. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Shepherdess, for joining us on the line and also for the blessings. We really appreciate it, and we look forward to our next conversation. Have a blessed day.
Blessed day too.
And on the line, that was a Shepherdess Thokozile Khalima, who came on to speak to us about the aspects of a world, a woman's world, and navigating cultural expectations. Right now, it is 10 a.m. It's a music takeover here on Thursday, the 14th of December. Really excited. We're about to close off for work. We're about to get into that festive season. We're about to spend more time with our families. Send through your song requests. I see that I have gotten a song request already. If you are unaware of the number, send them through to 073-470-3520. That is 073-470-3520. And we'll be able to play your songs here on Mid-Morning Empowerment during our music takeover, which is starting right now. Have a blessed day.
Amplify your mid-mornings with praise and worship on Mid-Morning Empowerment every weekday from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.